The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Brianna Parkins is with me in studio, a columnist with the Irish Times, of course, and a former regular on this show and on other shows as well. But she has since been repatriated. And you're home here for a visit. I say home here for a visit to your second home, I think how you describe it. One of your more recent columns in the Irish Times. How are you getting on?
Love being back in Dublin, as I always said. Leaving Dublin was probably the worst breakup that I've ever had. Leaving Ireland was the most painful breakup I've ever had. Wouldn't wish it on anybody.
How is life in Australia now, though?
You know what? It's difficult because where I make my money is in one place and the people I love and where I love living is in the other place. And I think that's really common for proper Irish expats who actually, you know, move away from their country of origin. And I just feel like in Australia, it's just that little bit easier to get ahead. I feel like if you, you know, not to say it's the land of milk and honey, but I feel like if you can work your way out and you can get ahead, you can get a place to live, you can sort yourself out and start to build that wealth.
So this is, I guess, the idea of the social contract.
Yes.
You know, that I'm not expecting to be a millionaire or to have a yacht down in Saint-Tropez. I mean, it'd be nice. Someone's offering. But I'm not expecting that. But I do expect that if I get a job and I work hard and I put in the hours, that at the very least I can put a roof over my head, yeah, support a family, and if the car breaks down, I can get it fixed,
yeah,
type thing.
I can get a new washing machine. A broken, yes, washing machine won't see me on the breadline. But many Australians are incredibly cranky because Australians have had it so good for so long. We've, like, if you're my age, you've never had a recession. And now they're really feeling the cost of living crisis. They're feeling house prices going up. I mean, the average house price in Australia, well, in Sydney, Sydney's not representative of Australia, would be about 800,000 euros. That's our average house price. And
okay,
house prices are on the up and up and up. And they've been saying this since the 2000 Olympics. So it is still hard, but there is things like the government is now letting you put down a 5% deposit, things like that, and they kick in the rest. So there's schemes to kind of help you get ahead.
But do I get the sense there that the social contract is beginning to fray a bit more than it has in the past?
Yes.
Are you guys catching up with us here, us trendsetters here in Ireland?
Maybe I like the misery. No, it is. And people are getting very cranky, and we are seeing the rise of the far right again. I was covering a protest there recently, and there were actual Nazis. Nazis are back. Maybe they didn't go away in the first place, but we are seeing people get angrier and start to blame immigration, and also start to question if population growth is, you know, raising house prices. Those same questions are being asked in Ireland. So, you know, it's not without its problems. It's definitely there. But every Irish person I spoke to who does live in Ireland does live in Australia, especially around County Bondi, say they just feel like they can get ahead here. There's hope in Australia.
And that, say, rise of the far right or that xenophobic rhetoric, has that manifested in national politics yet in Australia?
I mean, it's always...
Or is it a fringe thing?
It could always be a dog whistle. It can always be, yeah, used as an election dog whistle. And that's been the same since I was a child. We saw that in the Cronulla riots. Like, I remember when Dublin had its first riots and I was out there covering it. I was like, I've seen this all before. So it's always threatening around the fringes of Australia, but it is making its way back into the mainstream politics.
What are the things that you don't miss then about Ireland?
What do you mean? No, by the way, I say I only give out about Ireland because I love it in the same way I give out about my mother. No one else could, but I can. I don't miss walking rage. Like, you get walking rage too, walking around Dublin.
Sorry, it's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault, Brianna. You know, yeah, how I feel about slow walkers, and you know how I feel about handholders.
We're big, tall people, and we move at a speed.
Sorry,
we move at a quickness.
Yeah, straight out into a field, one shot, bang, bang.
Well, no, I think you should have a license. You should have a license to be able to walk in the city, and you can't come into the city until you've learned to stick to the left and pull over to look at your phone. What else don't I miss? I mean, prices of things. Like, you just pay so much. Like, your energy bills here are insane. Like, I would belt the air conditioner in summer in Australia, and I'd be paying, like, God, I'd be hard-pressed to pay 100 euros every 2 months, you know?
But is that beginning to change at all in Australia? You know, this idea,
no,
of building these kind of clapboard houses and just firing the heating on in the winter and the aircon in the summer and not worrying about the energy prices because you're just drilling it out the country somewhere.
We've already been pretty energy conscious because we've all had dads. Like, you know, the fear of the immersion is our dad with the air conditioner. Like, my dad will not put the air conditioner on the car in case it burns out the car. So we have suffered through many summers. Don't worry about that. But no, energy prices are lower. And we also have a nationalized grid. So the government can sort of tell energy companies, that's a bit high. They have that power as here. It's all private.
So then do you suspect, for all of those reasons, that Australia will still be a lure for young Irish people?
I think so. And the main reason, again, is housing. It's expensive to buy, but you can find somewhere to rent. It might be even, like, I pay about the same price I was paying in Dublin, but I look at Sydney Harbour every morning when I wake up out my bedroom window. But I found a place to rent and there wasn't a line of, like, thousands of people out the door. I didn't have to know someone. Like, here people are paying $1,000 for a room and, like, Dublin and Galway and even Cork now. So there's that hope you can actually have your own one bedroom place. That's a possibility.
And given that this is all happening in the context of population growth, one assumes then that there's enough houses being built, that there's a greater rate of building. Is there in Australia?
I mean, that's the $64 million question. Is the rate of our immigration catching up with housing stock? People are arguing that it's not. There's all different numbers being thrown out there. But also, we need immigration to build the houses. Like, when we talk about, you know, has Irish immigration had an impact on housing prices? Probably. But who's building the houses? Irish construction companies and Irish workers. So you could argue that it's you know, to be able to have the rate of housing stock go up, we do have immigration.
Is there you know, the way when you talk about, say, the far right or this xenophobia, there's how would I say it? There's a pecking order in terms of their hate, if we'll describe it that way. You know what I mean? This is kind of very blunt, but it's rarely you see people waving flags given out about Polish builders. You know what I mean? They're given out about generally people with dark skin, people who have different religions, different faiths, different cultural backgrounds to them. So is that manifest in Australia? Are the Irish slightly down the pecking order compared to maybe some others?
I mean, you know, the thing that I experienced growing up was, first, we had post-war migration. We had the Italians, we had the Greeks, we had anyone, you know, out of Southern Europe when after World War II, and there were quite poor, and Australia became the place to be. And it was like, all the Italians and the Hungarians, oh, watch out for those. And my mum lived in quite a European neighbourhood because she was Irish. Then it was like, oh, we had the Vietnamese war, and then we took a lot of Vietnamese refugees, and they became the other. Then it was the Chinese, then it was the Sri Lankans, and it was Lebanese after they had a war. So every time we've had a conflict, we've had new groups of people move here, and they've become the other. And it's funny, I hear sometimes in my own Irish community talk about, well, the Muslims. I'm like, you know that they talked about us the same. And there was that, you know, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. And that was a thing in Australia as well. So it's interesting to see how
that's kind of a global phenomenon, isn't it? Is the kind of the pulling the ladder up behind you thing.
Well, it's like, no, we came the right way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but we, you know, we didn't. My grandparents didn't have to show anything. They just turned up in Australia and they were given a house. They were given work. They were flown here by an Australian company. So it's like, oh, we came in and Irish were never given anything. Yes, were. Absolutely were.
And what are the things, because I asked, what are the things you don't miss? I mean, what are the things that you miss most about Ireland?
I miss the people. The people make this country, and I wrote
even
a column.
Even though there's so many of them over there.
I mean, I'm never far away from an Irish accent. I'm never far away from someone wearing a Mayo GAA jersey. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not truly out of it. But, like, you just try and, like, Australians are good fun, but you don't have the same level of crack. Like, I can sit with any Irish person, I think, at a bus stop or at a layover in an airport for hours, and I will knock a bit of crack out of them. Do you know? Australians don't necessarily have that, but it's poetry. Like, I was in the pub the other day, I wrote a column about it, and I heard an old one say to the other, it's like, oh, where would you like to sit? And he's like, oh, on my ass if I can help it. Like, that is, you don't get that anywhere else.
It's a good line. It's a good line. Brianna, it's good to see you. And safe travels home. I know you're heading back the other way, but you'll be back soon. I am sure. Brianna Parkins, you can read her columns continuing in the Irish Times.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.